what makes a good time in the theater? What makes a good experience when you're watching a horror movie? And where do we sometimes go wrong? Why is it that so often you get people trying to outsmart horror movies, people trying to look for plot holes, people trying to remember nitpicks to talk about with friends at the bar after? Nothing wrong with that per se, but I know that when I was doing that kind of stuff, I wasn't enjoying movies nearly as much. What can you do to have an open mind, find stuff you love, and have the best possible time watching a horror movie? I'm Devin Harding, this is Hidden Horrors, and we're going to talk about how to watch horror movies. You ever sit down and watch a horror movie with a bunch of people, especially when you're a teenager and there's some guy there who doesn't want to be there and is sitting around all grumpy like a lame-ass Batman, just picking it apart, saying, why would this character do that? Oh, this is so stupid. Oh, that's not realistic. Oh, ding, plot hole. It's no fun. We go to horror movies because we want to be scared. We should go to movies because we want to be on their terms. In fact, I think that being a bit more open-minded could open up a lot of movies to you that maybe you wouldn't have access to before. Movies that are aiming at different audiences, movies that have different budget levels, movies that are talking about different things, movies that have different points. The more that you have an open mind and you like the vast variety of horror movies, the more you find things that you love in horror. So first of all, if someone is like that, no judgment. Horror movies aren't that important. If someone doesn't like something, that's totally cool, and people might have passions and interests that are just about different things. So no judgment at all. This is only a guide for if you want to get a little bit more enjoyment out of horror movies, or if you just want to reflect on why you like the stuff that you like. I mean, after all, we're here because there's so much fun to be had, so many spooks, so many things that speak to us on some level. I think that there's a way of watching horror movies that's inherently defensive, where you're assuming horror movies are dumb, you're assuming that the tropes are there because people think you're dumb, you're assuming that they're low and trashy entertainment that shouldn't be valued. You watch defending your own ego from the movie. You watch making presumptions about what the movie means and what your reaction to it means. In a big way, this is kind of what ruins fun for anything. When you start to have presumptions and you don't let yourself experience and observe with a presence and clear-mindedness, yeah, it can take away the joy. It can also lead to some kind of unhealthy approaches to media, saying that movies are bad because the writers are dumb. There's all these kind of assumptions that can then tie into other problems. If you have assumptions about the inherent dumbness of creators, and you also have biases about people in other ways, those can mix to create some unhealthy attitudes, especially if then you're thinking up things to go and talk to your friends about, or worse, going online to post about. Well, then you get a lot of confirmation bias, then you get really defensive, then you're spending less time enjoying media and more time attacking or defending Zack Snyder. The point is, people are creating things because there's something of value there, and you should let yourself have fun. It also leads to some weird assumptions about the kind of meta-media around movies, like Rotten Tomatoes is a guess as to whether you'll like it. The score on there is not how good the movie is, it's the percentage chance that you'll enjoy the media. I hear so many people who are just kind of really mad at Rotten Tomatoes saying Rotten Tomatoes is dumb, and it's like, no. The core purpose of, will I like this movie, what are the chances, is pretty great. And if you find that you have specific tastes, you're much more likely to be on one side or the other. You should use it as a tool to help find movies that say something to you. I think that meditation is a very important term to a lot of people, but to me, in my very limited exposure to it, the key thing's been clearing your mind, observing, without bias, just letting things be. I think movies, when approached the same way, can produce a similar kind of effect. I had a professor in grad school where we were studying the history of art. One of the things that I think influenced me most from that class was an idea called close watching. And it just means taking the time to really closely look at a piece of art. Now, visual art is often very pretentious, it's very difficult for people to get into. But when you find a piece of art that you like, and you sit there, and especially if you're in person at a museum, and you just notice things about it. You start to notice shapes, notice sizes of figures, notice colors, you start to find that it brings you a bit of peace. It makes you calm, or it could make you more of the emotion that the artist was intending. It's a really good way to enjoy art. Now, for me, I find horror movies a lot more accessible, but that kind of close watching is super rewarding. Close watching can make a good movie great if you turn off your brain and you observe, if you watch it like a kid, if you do that thing that everyone basically knows how to do, but we all find ourselves forgetting to do, just observing first and thinking later, after the fact, letting yourself sit there and enjoy. It can make a movie so much better. And even more than that, what if it's a movie you don't like? When you watch a bad movie, it can be fun to sit with your friend at the bar and have a beer and talk about what makes it bad, but I think it can be a lot more engaging and fun and healthy and make you a better movie viewer, or at least make you a movie viewer who has more fun, to find something that you liked too. When you find something good about a movie, you find that looking back, you mostly remember the good thing, not the bad. Honestly, a lot of life is like that. The metaphor that, like, works for me talking about this is that movies are kinda like dating. If you go into a date and every time your date says something, you catalog it away, you think about it, you start thinking of what you're gonna say next, you start judging how you're doing in the situation, whether you like the person, you start trying to put on a performance because you're not actually listening, you're thinking over the other person, then you're gonna have a little bit of a terrible date. If you wanna get romanced, if you wanna enjoy the date, if you wanna have a connection, you gotta turn your brain off and observe. Practice the parts of your brain that are not the conscious kinda ego. Practice the parts of the brain that are capable of finding and appreciating cool things about the scene playing out in front of you. That's how you get romanced by a movie. Let it sweep you off your feet. This has been Dating Advice with Dr. Love. When people think over movies, when they don't let themselves get swept away, I think that's where you get people talking in theaters, etc. And don't get me wrong, I was there. I remember someone telling me to shut up in a theater, and I've definitely shushed some kids since. I find it really funny seeing the same thing when you're going through like a spooky horror maze where people jump out at you. There's always gonna be this one guy who's like 18, who's with a group of friends, and he's at the front, and he's just like, oh, you got me there, oh, that's cool. Joke, 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 joke. Hey, you almost got me. And then immediately, like every 5 minutes, we'll just, girls, you okay? Yeah? You good? You good? Okay. I think I probably was that person, but I have seen it way too many times. It's people performing to, one, not be scared, two, be kind of smarter than it, and three, kind of put a show on for other people around them. One of the big things is tone. Tone causes a lot of people to bounce off of movies. There are movies that have wildly different tones, and people will assume it's unintentional. People will say, oh, this is bad filmmaking, if it's not that kind of standard horror movie spooky scary tone, or if it's not classical hero arc type vibe. The other problem is that tones are often aimed at different audiences, and movies made for any demographic with any tone, they're good if they take you away. The only mark of whether a movie's good is whether it succeeds at what it's trying to do and has an effect on you, the viewer. I'll give you some examples. Fear Street is a trilogy of movies with a medium-ish budget that are aimed squarely at, like, groups of 17-year-olds at slumber parties, combining child-driven storytelling with some really actually positive themes, and with the type of gore that you want at a slumber party when you're 17. Midsommar is a very artsy horror movie made by Ari Aster. It's aimed at post-college kids, it's aimed at people who are probably somewhere between 20 and 35, and it is a very dire movie about grief and loss that speaks to a lot of gender issues and issues in dating, as well as issues with mental health. It is a very high-budget movie aimed at kind of everyone, made for millions of dollars, that had a lot of executive control, and adapted a Stephen King story. It had crazy high expectations, it also had to be very middle of the road. Invisible Man is a mid-budget recent horror movie that is extremely dire, extremely dark, talks a lot about abusive relationships. Psycho Gorman was very mid, kind of low budget. It's kind of a Power Rangers knockoff that is ultra gory and is super creator driven. Titane is a very artsy movie that won a bunch of awards, was medium budget, it's very kind of an art film, and it's about a woman boning a car with lots of death and violence. Mother! There's an exclamation mark. Is another movie that's very artistic. It is extremely beautiful, extremely well shot, extremely well acted. It is also deeply unpleasant. It kind of hates its audience, and it is a brutal movie to watch. I loved it. I will never watch it again. I bring all these movies up because they have different tones, different audiences, completely different vibes, different levels of financing, and some are produced in the Hollywood system, some are not. All of them I've enjoyed. And I don't think that the average person would necessarily love all of them, which is totally fine. Horror movies are my thing, everyone's got their thing. But there's something to be gained from all of these. I don't think anyone could watch all these movies and not find something that they liked in any of them. When we don't let movies into our heart just because they're the wrong demographic, the wrong system, the wrong whatever, well, we're shutting ourselves off from lovely things. I think that's a big reason why people don't like certain movies, or people kind of bounce off what the directors and writers and everyone who makes a movie, what their intention was. Movies are made by thousands of people. Someone put something pure gold on the screen, and you can find it. There was a recent movie that came out called Malignant, and a lot of general audiences kind of bounced off it. Critics loved it, and people were saying, well, this is a dumb movie, it's poorly written, it's insane, it doesn't make any sense, it is not realistic, which, by the way, realism is a terrible measure of the quality of a movie. Realism is a stylistic tool that can be used and applied and sometimes leads to great movies. It's not a mandatory. But Malignant is a revival of early 80s medical horror, most often found in books. There's a really beautiful book by Grady Hendrix that goes into the history of softcover horror. And for a while, because of the popularity of medical horror, all of these books were coming out, whether they took place in a hospital or had anything to do with anything, with skeleton doctors on the cover. Medical horror, or horror at least taking place in hospitals, got huge, and it never really had its time to shine on the silver screen. Malignant captures the insanity of that, the melodrama of that era, the almost inappropriate levels of, like, real-life problems mixed in with insane medical things. It's got evil doctors, it's got a twist that will make you say, what the fuck, in theaters. Any movie that can make you say, what the fuck, and genuinely get a shock out of you, genuinely put a big old grin on your face, it's good. And people just assume that the writing was bad, or that the melodrama was unrealistic, or that the villain was nonsensical, without realizing that that was the director's intention. I believe it was done by James Wan, and he knows his horror. He was making this as a tribute to a certain era and as a balls-to-the-wall roller coaster ride. I absolutely loved it because of that. And, you know, it's an experience that I would like people to be able to have. If you go into it and you start finding plot holes, finding nonsense, you're gonna be too in your own head to enjoy that what-the-fuck moment when it hits you. I think the key thing is to not try and be smarter than the movie, to assume that the people who are making it are competent adults who are making good movies. I mean, you don't need to extend that benefit of the doubt to, like, Hollywood execs. You don't need to enjoy the system. There are absolutely unique circumstances to the modern Hollywood system. All of these things have had mixed effects on creatives and what they can produce. But there are tons of extremely talented, extremely creative people on even the worst movies that you've ever seen. So watch it like a kid. Let yourself be open to the new experience. You're in a movie theater. That's exciting. You're having a night out with friends. You've got popcorn. Pretend you haven't done this 1,000 times before and rediscover the joy of it. Rediscover the joy of not knowing where a story is gonna go. And not getting too caught up on whether that story would make sense in as realistic a version of the script as possible. Now, this is a goal. It's not a method. I can point to tons of examples of my teenage self kind of getting thrown off a movie track, but I can point to examples of my recent self doing it too. I really got caught up on a couple of things while watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I got caught up on having some historical knowledge of the event and not liking the version of events that played out. I kinda ruined that movie a little bit for myself, and I've got to watch it again with a more open mind. Another thing is that I think we go through a process. We start watching movies with an open mind as a kid, And then either say, oh, anyone who liked this movie with plot holes is a moron. Or maybe even worse than that, oh, I can watch with an open mind, unlike those dumbos over there. Watching with a blank mind isn't stupid or smart. It's just grounded. It's more peaceful than it has anything to do about intelligence or someone's ability to be aware of media. It's just vibing. So, a movie that came out in 2011, I believe, a movie that really coincided with the rise of channels on YouTube that like to point out plot holes in movies, was Prometheus. There's a lot of things from that movie that have stuck in my mind, that I've seen pop up again in cultural conversations, that have given it a legacy. I don't need to point to those to say why it's a good movie, though. I need to point to one scene, a scene near the end, a scene involving a medical procedure that made me grip my seat and grit my teeth harder than any other movie maybe I've seen before or since. And this is a movie that got really torn apart for plot holes. A character needs to get something out of them. That device is made for men. It does not know how to perform the operation on her biology to get it out. And people said, oh well, why would this super advanced technology not know how to deal with women? Well, for one thing, a very rich man creating technology for his exclusive use probably doesn't care about accessibility standards. Two, then the scene wouldn't work. If we assume that all theoretical technology is just kind of a perfect solution for a situation, that's not good. And it's messed up horror movies. Cell phones are the single biggest problem when you're writing a horror script nowadays. They solve most problems, and a lot of plots don't work anymore. That's a huge limitation. You gotta give a little bit of intellectual charity to the movie, you gotta give a little bit of space to them so that you're, you know, able to enjoy the scene for being the gut-wrenching terror zone that it is. A lot of this relates to a concept that a friend once called Bullshit Mountain. It's also known as the Dunning-Kruger effect. When you know a little bit about something, you are very willing to talk about it like an expert, but when you learn more, you understand more of the scale of knowledge that you're working on. You understand how much more there is to go on. I'm almost hesitant to mention this because I know just enough about history to know how big the knowledge gap is on a lot of topics. I know that I'm going to get stuff wrong on this channel often, but it's a lot better to know the knowledge gap than to know a little bit less and think that you're on the top of the pile. The more movies you watch, the more of an open mind you have, the more you're willing to give credit to the work of people who are working hard and making beautiful parts of movies, even movies you don't like, the more you realize that there's a lot to the art of movie making that you could spend years of learning about, years of learning to appreciate more, and still not even remotely get to a total expertise on what makes a movie good or not. You gotta be open-minded. People will talk about how great Roger Ebert is as a critic and forget that he gave Prometheus 4 stars. There are movies where, even if the cultural consensus is ding, plot hole, it's bad, where people love because of the unique experience that they have. At the end of the day, movies aren't objectively, like, measurable. They are about the experience that you have watching them. It's an interesting time in horror movies right now because we're kind of coming out of an era. If you look at what the 21st century has been, it's been J-horror and K-horror, torture porn, after that it's been a lot of remakes, then it turns into kind of artsy horror with The Babadook, It Follows, going right through Midsommar and Hereditary. We're coming out of that era now, and it's exciting to see what the next thing is going to be. Currently, it seems like it's going to be a bit of horror comedy. Something like Get Out had a very great mix of a horror-dominant horror comedy with some lighter bits. Jordan Peele is successful because he is a comedy director. He understands that the line between comedy and horror is super thin. It's all about tension and release. But then Us came out, and Us shifted the line between horror and comedy a little bit. It was a little less horror, a little bit more comedy, and it was a little bit more metaphorical. Without spoiling too much, Us is a beautiful movie about class disparity, about a lot of issues, that has a metaphor that is impossible in real life. There are vast tunnels of people who are doppelgangers. Eventually some doppelgangers show up, chaos ensues, we get a really thrilling and funny horror comedy out of it.
You just spoiled it.
Yeah, and I saw people saying, well, this doesn't make sense. There's not enough space underground for all these people. How could the underground people be secretly controlling all of us? None of it makes sense. It's not realistic. And yeah, it's not realistic. Who cares? It doesn't matter. People get really hung up on world building. The actual movie-going experience often doesn't depend on building that world that much. If you're more invested in the characters and the plot, you don't need to have a very well built out world to fill in those plot holes. It doesn't matter that this would not be literally possible. Of course it isn't. It's not real. What matters is that the metaphor is there, that the metaphor drives the action and the comedy forward, that the metaphor creates a unforgettable cinematic experience. Jordan Peele has said often that he was very inspired by The Twilight Zone. The Twilight Zone is a great example of this. You get 22 minutes, you get in and you get out, you never get a world building, you never get any kind of realism or background, simply because it takes place in a world without logic, the Twilight Zone. In doing that, they can have wonderful comedies, very terrifying horror stories, and they can have stories that say something really meaningful about the world without having to have a before and after of the story. In general, I think it's best start where the action begins, end where the action ends. There's no need to make sure that everyone's had everything kind of spoon-fed to them, had every element explained so that they can create the stage in their heads. I think this is why a lot of people get disenfranchised with movies, where you start to be aware of tropes and of illogic, and you start to get really annoyed with how often horror movies have that. In the late 90s and the early 2000s, we all became very aware of tropes in slasher movies, tropes in horror movies, of characters making bad decisions. Is it maybe okay to have a character behave illogically when something illogical and mind-blowing is happening to them? If I've seen some horrifying killer, if I've seen some inexplainable supernatural thing, God knows if I'm going to be running up the stairs or calling the cops or doing anything that I should or shouldn't be doing in response to survive. Of course, characters making good decisions can be a really engaging part of a movie, and it can help bring you in. But in moving farther down the Dunning-Kruger scale, in realizing that there's so much more to appreciate with movies, so much more that you can learn, that you're not the expert, and that you're not there to decide what's dumb and defend your ego, but just like the movie, you can kind of return to that childhood place. There's this beautiful episode of Love, Death, and Robots called Zima Blue. Spoilers for Zima Blue. An artist that gets so intelligent and so capable that eventually he gets disenfranchised. He seeks to return to a place of his birth, to return to a lack of intelligence, to a pure and simple experience of living. I think a lot of us are kind of like that. As a viewer of art, eventually you start to return not to having a complex critical take, not for expanding on the metaphor, but for just viewing the metaphor, viewing the movie, having a simple and unbiased and unprejudiced experience watching a film. What's even better about that is that you can ask people of all kinds of different views and opinions. All of them know, in one way or another, that the way to really enjoy a movie is to sit down, turn your brain off, and observe it. And then only after, start coming up with theories and ideas. Let yourself experience the experience. Gonna recommend some movies. Recommendations, 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 recommendations. The movie I'm gonna recommend is the Candyman sequel that came out this year. In addition to beautiful visuals, some amazing camera work, and brilliant acting, the best version of the Candyman theme by the wonderful composer Philip Glass, this movie has some great zip to it. It is funny, it is spooky. Before you watch it, you should watch the original Candyman. The original Candyman is brilliant filmmaking, it is an absolute masterpiece, and it also speaks to a lot of social issues that are just adult and fully formed. Watch the original, watch the sequel, think about what works, what doesn't, and you're going to have a great time. But make sure that you find something that you love in every frame. We'll see you next time. Please take the time to talk about movies that you liked, movies that you didn't like, movies that you've watched again and realized that there's something there. What's an element of a movie that was bad that you really liked and would like to see explored more? We'll see you next time. Like, share, subscribe. Peace.